Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Talking Data Podcast. I'm Jack Vaughn for Search Data Management, and joining me today is my colleague Craig Stedman, Senior Executive Editor for our group. Craig recently covered the Strata Data Conference in San Jose and did something of a bellwether event for big data. It always seems to be. Craig, your coverage on the site kicked off with a look at containers and Kubernetes. Why don't we start here? In the big data space, why do people containerize, and why do they look at using Kubernetes?
Sure. Well, hi, Jack. Glad to be here with you today. So I think it's the same reasons, same purposes as you know, using containers in general, primarily looking to accelerate and streamline the development and deployment work in building big data systems, and basically ease the big data implementation process. So by things like enabling developers to and IT operations teams to reuse both system configurations in in containers and as well as applications, and also just simplifying, make it easier to move systems and applications to new platforms or reallocate computing resources as your workloads change, and also take advantage of available processing cycles in your IT infrastructure. If you have servers that aren't fully running jobs, you can use containers to move applications there and basically use your architecture in a more efficient and effective way. And then I'll just say also, why Kubernetes? Well, you need a technology to basically, to orchestrate and manage your containers. I mean, we're talking primarily about Docker containers here, and so Kubernetes would act as the container management platform for you. And in this case, you could have particularly big data systems, you could have a lot of containers that need orchestrating and managing. And it's not the only orchestration technology out there. There's also Mesos and even Yarn. Hadoop inside Hadoop, Yarn, the Yarn resource manager and job scheduling technology, can it's getting I think it's part of Hadoop 3.0, or it might be in 3.1 release that's upcoming. It's getting support for you're going to be able to put Yarn containers into Docker containers to run Hadoop applications in Docker containers via Yarn.
And it seems a lot of this is aimed to operationalize Hadoop, or I should just call it maybe big data. But over the years, we've seen people having difficulty getting into production, and this seems to be another take on that issue. One thing I take away from your story that we recently ran from the conference is that in terms of Kubernetes and even containers and big data, that it's early.
Right, yeah, definitely. I mean, I could say the whole big data process is still early for a lot of companies. But then, and then even more so with containers and technologies like Kubernetes. So seeing a lot of early adopters that are, deploying some of these technologies. And even the technologies themselves are still kind of in their infancy in some cases. So, for example, version 2.3 of the Apache Spark processing engine was released in late February with a native Kubernetes scheduler built into it. But the technology is still call it experimental. One vendor that I talked to at the conference from Pepper Data, which is among a group of companies that are jointly developing this Kubernetes scheduler, basically said it's called Spark on Kubernetes. Basically called it a bleeding edge technology that's best suited for now to companies that have sufficient technical muscle, as he put it.
And I know that you attended a session that Pinterest put on. An individual there had built a containerized application for analytics, and but it's something that hadn't gone into production yet.
Yeah. So yeah, one session with software engineer from at Pinterest who was talking about she built a container-based setup for debugging machine learning models as a trial, basically, or a test. Pinterest is looking to use Docker containers to help speed up development and deployment of their machine learning applications that they use that help drive their website behind the scenes. But they're also testing a Kubernetes cluster to help for orchestration and management of containers, but they're still in the testing process. Another company that spoke at the conference that's maybe farther along is JD.com, which is a large online retailer based in China. They've built a Kubernetes-based architecture, and so they've got 300 nodes currently running production jobs in containers on this architecture, using Spark and TensorFlow and Cafe and some other machine learning and deep learning frameworks, on top of or running them in Kubernetes based containers or Docker containers.
And some of the benefit Kubernetes. Is that they run these different types of workloads as you just described, but sort of using the same infrastructure.
That's the idea, was that they want to have them all in one, all of these AI workloads running in a single cluster, well, primarily in a single cluster, so that they can, to make it easier to maximize their resource utilization, as we were talking about before. I didn't mention this in my story, but they're part of the reason for this too is they can use different types of processors in systems or for applications as needed. So conventional CPUs, but they're also looking at running using GPUs in some cases, which GPUs being getting a lot of uptake for machine learning and AI applications and deep learning applications. Still at the proof of concept point with that particular part of the architecture. One of the issues they're looking at is whether using Kubernetes could cause performance bottlenecks when you're trying to launch large numbers of containers. And also reliability is, something else they're looking at just as more and more process, as they run more and more processing workloads through Spark on Kubernetes.
Well, I would ask you to talk about, we've talked about the why and the when and some of the how related to Kubernetes and containers. And what was some of the vendor activity around this, and what kind of problems are they trying to solve?
Yeah, so in addition to Spark 2.3 getting the native Kubernetes scheduler when it was released in February, there are some other steps being taken in and around the conference or at and around the conference. So MapR Technologies, one of the big data platform vendors, said that they've integrated a Kubernetes volume driver into its big data platform, so that would that'll provide persistent data storage for applications in containers that are tied to Kubernetes, and also which actually looks to address one of the issues with Kubernetes and Docker containers is the issue of persistence and for stateful applications, which is kind of a requirement for most big data implementations. But one of the things about Kubernetes is that and containers in general is they've primarily been used for stateless applications thus far. So things like running web servers, where you don't have to persist, persist things from user session to user session. So vendors like MapR are trying to come up with these ways to and also in the case of Spark on Kubernetes, where you can run stateful applications in containers and to make it work for big data users. There also was, Apache Flink, which is a stream processing rival to Spark. There's a new 1.5 release of that upcoming that will have some increased ties to both Kubernetes and Mesos, the other orchestration technology. In addition to that, Data Artisans, which is the driving force behind Flink, is it's announcing a platform called a platform that combines Flink with an application manager technology, but that will deploy streaming applications on Kubernetes on Kubernetes running in containers as a default. So as their CEO Kostas Zoumas put it in a briefing that we got, they're seeing containers everywhere and Kubernetes everywhere. So so they think it's the future.
Well, let's step up a bit. We've said in the past, and others have too, that you know, there's been a trend in the years over at the Strata away from some of the data infrastructure consideration, certainly of Hadoop, although we're seeing plenty around containers. But there seems to be a increased focus towards analytical application and data science tools, data science skills. So it might be worth asking, you know, where do you see Strata going? Because you've covered several of these events over time.
Yeah, well, I think it's going toward the data. There were a lot of sessions related to AI and machine learning applications and data science applications or managing data science teams at the conference. So a year ago, the version of the conference in San Jose was called Strata and Hadoop World, and then later in 2017, the name was changed to the Strata Data Conference, as it is now, and it's, indicative of the focus. At this conference, there were very few sessions that were directly about Hadoop. I think there were only a couple that mentioned Hadoop in either the session title or the session description. I don't think people are turning their backs on Hadoop necessarily, although there are, particularly in applications, advanced analytics applications like AI and machine learning, there are a lot of those are running on other systems, be it Spark or, whatever, without Hadoop or the Hadoop distributed file system necessarily being part of the picture. But overall, I think there's still a lot of use of Hadoop, but it's sort of, I think it's becoming part of the woodwork, maybe, in a lot of cases. And the focus, particularly, certainly of the conference and maybe of a lot of users, or at least vendors that are trying to make money off of all this big data stuff, is shifting more toward the applications and how they can get value out of data science and AI and machine learning.
Well, it does seem like there's a bit of a shift there. It's something we'll keep an ongoing look at. And Greg, I'm happy you could take some time. Thanks for being with us today on the Talking Data Podcast.